What's up, everybody? Before we get today's episode going, I want to remind you to please check out and support our PowerPlay Patreon page. For just $2 a month, you get access to all of our bonus content like drafts, trivia, story time, and you get the episodes ad-free and one day early. So please take the time and support this independent podcast by going to patreon.com/thepowerplaypod. That's patreon.com/thepowerplaypod to support the boys.
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
It can't be a one-man show out there. Gotta have all the boys involved. Gotta be willing to go to the dirty areas.
Hey, what's up, all you NHL and all you hockey fans? Kevin Weeks here. Just want to say welcome to the Power Play Podcast.
Ooh, welcome to another edition of the Power Play Podcast. I am your host, the one and only Vinny Milani, alongside Jeeker and Anthony, the backup. Boys, how's it going? Anthony, I'll start with you. How's everything going over there with the kid?
Fantastic. Little dude enjoyed his first Rangers hockey game yesterday afternoon. He's going to get used to losing like we are. So he's right in the mix there. So fantastic start. Also, there was hockey on all day yesterday. So my life in general has just been great the past couple of days.
Living the dream. Jeeker, how's it going over there with you, buddy?
And kind of the same. I mean, disappointed in the performance of the Pittsburgh Penguins last night. We will get into that and how they can fix that because I know the solution. I mean, my weekend was golf, hockey. So,
not a bad weekend.
Set of 76 yesterday. So I'm pretty excited about
that. Look at you.
Attaboy.
Yeah, everything was working, firing on all cylinders. So
how's softball going? That's the real, that's what the fans want to hear.
Okay. So we're not necessarily the best team. We have first round of playoffs tomorrow, Tuesday. We are the sixth seed out of 10, which is not bad, but to give you kind of a rundown of how my seasons went, I went 5-for-7 last week with 2 triples, a home run, 2 singles, and I was 8-for-8 in putouts at the shortstop
position. This guy's just banging over here, man.
Including two doubles. Yeah, including two doubles.
Your guy. Great.
I had my guy. I mean, 5-for-7, I mean, you know, what is that, 750? I mean, that's double home run numbers. So.
Is that good?
Best part about it was I did set a goal of mine because the way we play, there's like it's a rectangle, so the right field fence is – I'm a lefty, so the right field fence is way longer than the left field for like all the righties. And I made a point to myself to say I'm going to hit one over the right field fence, and sure shit, I crushed one into the parking lot and I was pretty pumped about that one. So
just
almost
drop.
Did it again too. Hit the top of the wall, and actually, some guy hurt himself. So I felt
oof,
bad.
Oof, just dropping
don't
bombs.
Don't try to, dude. Just let that bitch drop. You don't have to come try to get that.
Like, yeah, you gotta go to work the next day, buddy.
But I mean, if you ever heard of Troy Tulowitzki in his prime, yeah, that's pretty much what we're rocking.
Wow, I can kind of see it there. You got the length like Troy, like Tulowitzki. Yep.
He's a big guy. Has a little bit of power when he needs to. I'm one of the fastest guys on my team, surprisingly. So, and then he's just a Gold Glove caliber shortstop.
You know, just an all around.
Can't beat it.
Just an all around athlete. Yeah. Not a big deal, you know.
Literal definition of a 5-tool player. So,
well, Anthony, you alluded to it before. We have had a lot of hockey on yesterday, and we have had a lot of hockey on today. We have so much hockey talk to make happen here during this show. But before we get into it, I want to remind everyone, don't forget to follow us on social media at the Power Play Pod. That's Facebook, that's Instagram, and that's Twitter. We've got a great show ahead of us. We are going to be covering all of the games that have happened so far. We're going to give you a little preview on what is to come tomorrow. I'm so excited about this. This is the best I want to say this is the best time of year, but this is not normally how it is. This is normally like one of the worst times of the year. But with the circumstances being what they are, we have hockey in August, and we're going to get right into it. The first game yesterday, boys, the New York Rangers and the Carolina Hurricanes. The first shot of the Stanley Cup qualifying round goes in on our boy Henrik Lundqvist, and the playoffs are running here. Anthony, I'll start with you. What did you think of the Carolina Hurricanes yesterday?
They played a very good game in the neutral zone, especially. Shut the Rangers down. They couldn't get much in the center. They played on the perimeter all game. You can't win like that. Carolina played a physical game, slowed the speed down of the Rangers. I thought Henrik Lundqvist had a spectacular game. He looked like 2012 Lundqvist out there, just making big saves all over the place, keeping the boys in it. But they literally couldn't get anything in the middle in the offensive zone. You can't win hockey like that. Carolina played a great game. They won the coaching battle. Rod Bindemore had his boys prepared, ready to rock. They took it to the Rangers from the first shift on with that big hit from Brady Shea. That set the tone for the whole game for them. And you see what happens. I think we talked about it a couple of shows ago, how we all think that Carolina's going to win this series. I know 89% of teams who win game one in a five game series.
Look at you with the stats here.
Go on to win, and I believe that's going to be the case here going forward. The way Carolina played yesterday, I want to go. One of you guys said that Carolina would sweep. I don't remember who it was, but it's you guys both. You guys both
did. That's what I was about to ask.
I definitely said they're going to sweep.
Yeah.
Well, I think I was on board before. I thought the Rangers might be able to win one, but based on what we saw yesterday, unless they make some drastic changes, it's not going to happen. Carolina's got their number. They have a better coach. They have a great defensive system that's just slowing the Rangers down. Not much more to say.
Yeah, and one of the most alarming things from that game, obviously Carolina, I thought, had a great game, but one of the most alarming things was the fact that both teams were 1-for-14 on the power play, with Carolina scoring the lone power play goal. Lots of penalties in the game, and I've been noticing a lot of penalties throughout all of the games. Jeeker, do you think that is something that is just because of the rust factor, or do you think that this is an actual problem that these teams need to be concerned with?
I think a little bit of both. The rust factor, I mean, getting your timing down on power play is obviously something that comes with time. I mean, very rarely do you see teams go right out of the gate at the start of the season with good numbers on power play. I mean, these guys are still – I mean, I'm watching some of these games. I got the game on right now. And you got to realize that it's completely different than anything – obviously than anything normal. And, like, I've dealt with it in college where you play on the same ice for four games in a day, and the ice is going to be bad. And I mean, like, I was looking at the Pens game last night, those two shootout or penalty shot opportunities.
Oh, those are unreal. Those are funny.
But, like, I mean, that's just the way it is right now. So, like, I mean, I think maybe I'd say maybe right now it's kind of just rust and a little bit of timing / the ice kind of playing into effect. But I'd say if it's by like the third or fourth game of these series and teams aren't doing it, then I say it's strictly just, I mean, you know who you're going to be. You knew who you're going to be playing for such a long time that I'm sure the coaches did so much video. And, like, I think that might be also the thing, too, compared to, like, regular playoffs where you only know a week or two before the season or when the season's over who you're playing. So, I mean, for all I know that Montreal watched the Pens power play, and that's a whole other issue for 6 weeks or whatever it was. So that's my take on that. I don't expect it to be. I personally think it'll change by game two or three. But I mean, it's frustrating too as a player of the way I play the game. Like, I love watching power plays, and
oh yeah,
I think power plays are, like, literally the catalyst of like winning and losing games. Yeah, it's frustrating to me to see, like. Again, I watched the Penn game last night with my buddies, and it was very frustrating to see that, you know, two of the three or four best players in the world on the same ice in the power play, and they couldn't
do anything. Yeah, and so what are your thoughts on? And I'll go to you, Anthony, on this. What are your thoughts on the actual penalties that are being taken here? We're seeing a lot of slashes. We're seeing a lot of trips. Seeing a lot of lazy penalties in this Ranger game, particularly. We saw a lot of retaliation penalties, especially from the Rangers side. Pavel Buchnevich earlier in the first period showed his frustration taking a dumb interference call. What are your thoughts on these guys kind of not keeping their feet moving and taking these dumb penalties?
I like Jake alluded to, I think some of it is rust. I think it also has a little bit to do with the officials yesterday. They were calling it pretty tight. We saw some things that were like, maybe let it go. But I don't really have a problem with them calling it tight as long as it's consistent. That's really all I care about. If you're going to call it tight, call it tight. And the referees did that yesterday. I thought they did a good job of controlling the game. The Rangers took a couple of dumb retaliation penalties. I think that falls a little bit on the coach late in the game, letting your guys out there. You know, you have to make sure that they're ready to go and not going to retaliate to something dumb like Tony D'Angelo did, not to let Tony D'Angelo off the hook in that situation. He, you know, he deserved everything he got there.
Yeah, but, you can't. You definitely
maybe a bit of a coaching issue there as well. Just making sure your guys are settled down, a little bit calmer in those situations. I mean. For example, the Rangers were only down, you know, a goal. They yeah. really could have done more in the last minute of play than they did. They didn't do much. The Pens were a good example of the opposite of how they went down 2-0
and you know, came back.
Calm.
Yeah.
Their veteran leaders, their coaching remained calm. They stayed mm-hmm. with it. They I mean, they outplayed the Canadiens. I think at one point it was 14-3 in shots, and the Canadiens were up 1-0. So it was a game that was going in favor of the Canadiens despite the play, and the Penguins didn't let that stop them from coming back, making it a game. And you know, one lucky shot from the slot, you know, in the overtime period ends it. But you know, that could, once it gets that far, it could really go either way.
Yeah, 100%. I have one last thing to talk about with this Rangers Hurricanes series in the game one that we saw last night or yesterday. And I know Anthony's take on this, and Anthony and I both kind of feel the same way about the Henrik Lundqvist situation. I'm very interested to see from you, Jeeker, what your thoughts are. I don't know if you're that familiar with what's happening in New York, the fact that Igor Shesterkin was deemed unfit to play only hours before the game, and then Henrik Lundqvist gets the start. Most believe that Igor Shesterkin was already going to get the start for this game. Then the unfit to play thing came up, and Henrik Lundqvist, personally, I thought he played well. And I did see a lot of Ranger fans just getting upset with him about the first goal and then the backhand that went off the post by Vincent Trocheck early in the first period. Jeeker, what's your thoughts on Henrik Lundqvist?
I mean, I personally didn't get a chance to watch the game because I was on the golf course. I caught the last maybe like 5 minutes of it. Man, it's tough for me. I know the situation.
Would you have put Henrik Lundqvist in knowing that Igor Shesterkin's the future? And although Henrik Lundqvist had a 4-0 record against Carolina Hurricanes this season, would you have put your future in net, or would you have given the guy who has been basically the backbone
I put whoever was playing the best. And I was going to make the point, too. You got to think, looking back at this regular season and how they went 4-0 against the Hurricanes and stuff like that. But look at the guys on Carolina that weren't there. Trocheck, Shea, Vatanen, Dougie Hamilton was hurt. I mean, he's hurt now, but he should be back maybe like all these guys they picked up at the trade deadline.
It's a much different
Williams
team.
Williams wasn't there. He came back middle of the season. So you can't really take that much stock into that. If it was one or two players, fine, but to basically have a full starting lineup different.
Yeah.
My biggest gripe with the NHL right now is that the unfit to play. Like,
it's such
a very vague.
It's a very odd thing.
Say he's got the virus or he doesn't. If he had the virus, things would probably be a lot different.
Well, it's such a weird thing. It's such a weird thing too,
because
Sorokin
didn't have the virus because he was
I'm saying Tukarev doesn't have the virus either. I'm talking to my buddy who follows a lot of rumor stuff. Tukarev has a broken hand.
Allegedly.
Ooh.
Unfit to play. See, that's the thing too, where it's like they should make it say unfit to play, not virus related, not COVID related.
Well, then they had earlier on this week, we saw a report that said Sidney Crosby was unfit to practice. And then he comes in and does fine and does what he does.
He had
and
fucking
scored a goal last
night. He probably had a tweak coin.
I personally,
the first week of training camp.
making up a conspiracy theory here, I personally think that David Quinn was like, okay, I want to start Henrik Lundqvist, and we'll just blame it on Shesterkin being unfit to play.
I don't think that's the case because I think it would be. I mean, knowing nowadays all the agents have Twitter and all that stuff, the agent would have said something.
Yeah.
To either get him out of there or something. You know what I mean? So I don't think that's the case. I think that they should have started whoever was hotter going into the COVID break. And
that would have
time. I'm pretty sure with Shesterkin.
That would have been Shesterkin. I will say this will be the final thing on.
You know, maybe.
Yeah,
might have tweaked something the last day of practice or during that exhibition game. Never know.
He definitely could have. But I will say this is the last final thing with this Ranger Hurricane series. Is that if we had start sit call ups this week on the show, I would be sitting David Quinn for his absolute just. Very shitty press conference that he had after the game where he basically said, I'm not quoting him directly, but he basically said that the Hurricanes were the Rangers beat the Hurricanes four times this season, all four times. And the Hurricanes were just hungrier and wanted to avenge those losses. And I'm like, Dude, that's just such a shitty way to say your team sucked, man. Just admit that your team was not the best tonight and you're going to come back on Monday and do better. Like, don't bring up what happened during the regular season to try and make yourself feel better for what happened.
Oh, that's not making himself feel better. That's trying to let a 500 team's ass.
I don't know, man.
Why do you think Paul Maurice said what he said last night?
Well, that will definitely
get it going, spark a fire. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. That has nothing.
I can't wait till we get to that. I got some
making. I don't think that has anything to do with David Quinn making himself feel better. I think that just is trying to say, you know, the teams in the media and they pay attention to it and stuff like that. So I mean, I don't think that has anything to do with him trying to make himself feel better. Because like I did watch the highlights and like I said, I did watch a little bit of the end and they looked good. They didn't look like they were out of place by any means.
See, I would say the opposite. I think that the Carolina Hurricanes were better in all three zones of the ice last night.
I didn't say they were better. I said they weren't better. I said they didn't look good. They didn't look bad.
I think that this team, the Rangers, just look at times they look good, but really they just looked like they didn't have it. They were just outmatched, outplayed in all three zones. But either way, we're going to move down on the timeline here. The next game that day on Saturday was an absolute pumping of the Edmonton Oilers by the Chicago Blackhawks.
Literally a pumping. It ended up 6-4.
It ended up 6-4. But realistically to me, I saw the Edmonton Oilers just get – I mean, it was –
I mean, at one point it was what? It was 4-0.
It was 4-0 at one point.
4-1.
The 4-1.
That kid Kubalik.
Yeah, nice snipe. Oh, what a goal.
That kid. Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude, that was a rocket. Oh, McDavid's goal. Oh,
Kubalik, the guy you said that Adam Fox should be ahead of in the Calder voting.
And I stand by that.
No.
Yeah, how'd Fox do in game one?
Last time I checked, the Calder is not voted on by the playoffs.
5 points, 2 goals, 3 assists, first rookie to ever do it.
It was unreal. Anthony, do you know – I don't remember the guy's name, but do you know what player or what team the last player to do that was, who had the record before that?
Do I remember?
I have no idea.
It was someone from the Rangers. I can't remember.
Oh, I have no idea.
The coach I played with in Toledo was the first guy to score his first – he's a defenseman. The first game in the playoffs, he scored a hattie.
Ooh.
Andy Delmar played for the Flyers, yeah.
Damn.
Man.
Fun fact. Mm.
So the Blackhawks, the Edmonton Oilers, I thought the Blackhawks look they look great to me. Other than allowing those four goals, I thought they played a very well executed game, especially in the offensive zone. Anthony or Jeker, I'll throw it to you first. What was wrong with the Edmonton Oilers last night?
They're overrated.
Oh. Well,
they're not good. Besides the two guys they have, They're two big guys. They don't have anyone else.
Yeah, last night looking,
they really don't.
Looking back at the stat sheet, there is not any goals or points scored last night by the Edmonton Oilers that was not Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Oscar Klefbom, and the real deal James Neal. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. So those five players, which is normally the top five players for that team.
Yeah.
Other than that, they did not get anything else. Mike Smith was not very good. Although he was hung out to dry in that game, I didn't think Mike Smith played a very good game. I think, Anthony, you're the goalie guy. Do you think that you put in Koskinen for the next game, or do you let
100%? I thought Smith looked terrible. I thought
Koskinen was supposed to. Everyone was shocked that Smith was started.
Smith was god awful yesterday. Taves' first goal in the first period. It was a nice shot from the slot, and he was wide open. But Smith was so far off his angle that I think he had half the net to shoot at. I mean, easy goal. He misplayed the puck behind the net. I think that was the first goal that they scored. He looked absolutely lost. And we've seen that a lot from Smith, where he can play like a Stanley Cup champion goaltender, and he can play like he doesn't belong in the NHL. And last night we got the latter. And it's like he's very streaky as well. So if I'm Tippett, I'm going to the kid, Koskinen. You got nothing to lose. Because the thing is, Edmonton will score goals. If they get a competent competent goaltending to bail them out in some situations, because like Jake alluded to, they're not that deep, but they will score goals. They scored four last night. They're capable of doing some damage on offense. We can all agree on that, I think. If they get some competent goaltending, I think the series takes a turn, probably goes five.
Can the Hawks keep this pace up, Jeeger?
Oh, 100%. The Hawks are a deeper team. The Hawks are, I think, a better team overall.
They said that Corey Crawford started skating when they started training camp, so give him another game, and I don't think they'll score four goals. I think it all comes down to the Hawks have been counted out for the last 2 years with them not making the playoffs, and they're done and they're finished. And I think guys like Taves and Kane and Duncan Keith have a little bit of fuck you in their step. And
yeah,
I think it showed in game one, because I mean obviously Kubelik had a game, but I mean Taves had two goals and Kane had a great game and Duncan Keith had a couple points. Like
Keith, that beautiful flow all the way to the impact, huh?
Dude.
Oh, he's an absolute. He might be my new favorite defender in the NHL. But I just think overall they're a deeper team. I mean, look, like Edmonton doesn't have anyone other than those two, and I mean James Neal, yeah, but James Neal didn't have like a sick year.
The real deal. James.
The real deal, James.
He was only the real deal when he played in Pittsburgh and had 40.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, like their third and fourth line, I don't know who any of those guys are. Like,
I love Kyler Yamamoto. Okay, he is the man. But yeah, love but that guy. He's also on their second line, so it's not really.
But like you said, pass line, the third and fourth line of the Hawks, like.
It's,
they might be some younger guys, but they play the role that Comp Kid plays his role in the third, fourth line spot. Like, I don't know. I think it's going to come down to if this was a full 7-game series, first round of playoffs, I might change my thought process on it. But I think just the pure fire and the pure experience that the Hawks have, they're not going to let this go. They're not going to lose the series. I don't think it's going to let it happen. I think Crawford. I think Crawford's gonna bounce back, or not bounce back, but like just get better as it goes. And from what I read, that Malcolm Subban was stopping everything in the training camp. So I mean, if they really like, if something happens to him or whatever, like it sounds like they have a good
score. There it is. Holy shit! Sorry. You're behind. Damn it! As we're doing this,
Let Jeker watch. Let me talk about the Edmonton Chicago series while you watch real quick. I'm in total agreement with everything Jaker said. In a 5-game series, Chicago taking the first game, all that momentum. I'm fairly confident they're going to take this one in 3 or 4.
Yeah, I mean, Edmonton didn't – I really didn't think Edmonton looked good. I mean, they scored 3 of their goals on the power play, 5-on-5. They just did not look good. And they're going
to – Is that count, though?
I don't know. I don't
think that's going to count.
So what we're talking about now, you'll hear this – obviously, you're going to hear this later on in the week, and you're not going to be able to know what – this has already happened. But while we're watching this – while we're recording this, we are watching the – Colorado Avalanche and the St. Louis Blues playing the round robin, and Colorado just scored, or maybe they scored, Nazem Kadri with the final seconds of the game on the power play, by the way. And I just want to point out, Jordan Binnington was standing on his head during that entire sequence, and they just could, they were just, they crumbled. The pressure, Colorado had so much pressure going on, and that it just, they just cracked. And I mean, they didn't have,
keep showing the goal, put the damn time up. Who cares?
Yeah, I want to see the time.
No, by the way, St. Louis did not have their best penalty kill, their best defenseman / penalty kill guy on the ice during this, Alex Petrangelo, because he took a shot. Oh, that's a goal. Oh, that's so close. That's so close as it gets.
It can't get close.
I don't know. I think that's no goal.
They called it a goal on the ice, though.
We need to zoom in if it fully crossed the line. If it fully crossed the line before that point one trickled down to point zero.
I love this live analysis we got here, guys. This is fantastic.
This is terrible audio.
Does it go to
5-minute overtime, and then it'll go into a shootout.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah, it is not. It is like, not like playoff season. Rules.
Yeah.
Okay. Round robin.
I don't think that's a goal.
Yeah. Round
I
robin
think
is regular.
If they called
season.
It a goal on the ice, it might stand. But I think you're right, Jaker. I don't think it crossed the line in time.
So Jaker, I will let you. I'll let
no,
you
that's
make.
A goal. That's a goal.
Now Jaker's watching that.
No. So they have it on the line at point one.
Yeah, but
it, no, you can't tell if it's all the way over.
That's what I'm saying. You need to be able.
They have to count it.
They have to count it. I think there's definitely an argument for it not going over in time, but I think because they called it a goal on the ice, we got a goal here.
This is absolutely wild.
I think they have to count it, but
I agree.
Yeah. So while this is happening, Jeeker, obviously I will see this video if it's a goal or not before you. So I'll let you do the honors of just letting everyone know during the show while I go ahead and talk about our next series that happened that took place last night, which was, let's see, which one came next? Oh, it was the Islanders and the Florida Panthers next. Oh boy. This series was a series that a lot of people, I don't know about you guys.
They were dogging it. I don't know why.
A lot of people were dogging this series, man. A lot of people were saying that it's going to be a boring series. No one wants to see this. Because both teams are not, they're not flashy teams. The Islanders are not a flashy team. Obviously, you can see that it was a 2-1 game. All the other games had a lot more scoring than that. Oh, there's the view. But we need to see the clock. That's so close. I think it'll be a goal.
I think it's going to count. I think it said it counts, so we'll see if it actually counts.
So the Panthers and the Islanders. Anthony, I'll start with you with this one. Mr. Jean-Gabriel Pageau scores the first goal.
What an acquisition. What a deadline acquisition for the Islanders.
I wanted to ask you, is he, do you think, the best acquisition at the trade deadline?
I 100% believe he's the most valuable asset just based on what he's done.
He's built for the playoffs. This kid always – oh, look at Joe Sakic. What a guy.
With the mask on. I think he had a 4-goal night against the Rangers when he was with Ottawa in the playoffs. And he's just, like you said, built for the playoffs. The guy's an absolute gamer. Came to play. Amazing pickup for the Islanders at the deadline. Barlamov was stellar. I think Bobrovsky played well on the other end, but Barlamov was stellar. Both teams. I think this may be the most, honestly, like people were talking, this may be the closest series we see. I can see these two teams trading wins all the way to five.
Look at Steve Ott on the bench for St. Louis. What a guy.
Chief wearing a quarter zip and a polo.
His whole squad is wearing the quarter zips and polos, man.
That's pretty cool. You don't see that.
That's awesome. So, Jeeker, I know you're tuned in on this here, but I want to talk to you about your boy who destroyed Johnny Boychuk in the head last night.
Clean hit.
His hands were down. It was clean.
Hands were down. Principal point of contact was like lower shoulder or upper shoulder. Yeah, and I 100%. Think his head snapped into it. I don't think it was direct contact to the head. And my statement's backed up because what's his face got suspended. Kajula got suspended a game for that hit on Ennis, which was a direct hit to the head.
The North Dakota product.
He didn't even get a fine.
I didn't think that was bad at all.
I said the North Dakota product. Drake Kajula. Just letting you guys know.
I thought Kajula wasn't that bad, but we'll get into that later.
He got a game for that, and Johnson didn't even get a fine. So
yeah,
there you go.
I thought it was a great hit.
I have the answer.
I'm going to disagree with it. They're going to call it a goal.
Do you want me to ruin it for you, or tell you? Do you want me to tell you what happened?
My buddy just texted me. It's a goal.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And like I said the other day, Twitter is faster than the game, obviously, because there's a delay at the game. And Twitter ruined it for me on that one right before it actually happened, which is just unreal. So Colorado takes the game against St. Louis. Back to the hockey talk here, the Islanders and the Florida Panthers. Anthony, do you obviously think that this series is going to be – do you think every game is going to be like a 2-1 final, 3-2 final, that kind
of
stuff?
We're not going to see any 6-4 games like we did with Edmonton and Chicago. But it's still exciting hockey. Both these teams were mixing it up yesterday. We saw plenty of scrums, plenty of little scraps for them. It's still very exciting hockey. If you're like me, there's two really good goaltenders on each end. You're seeing a lot of good saves being made. Honestly, it might be a higher scoring affair if it wasn't for these two guys in the net.
I think it's more of the fact that Joel Quenneville and Barry Trotz are both very structured defensive coaches. I think. Oh, here we go. This is the game I wanted to see. Toronto, Columbus. Sorry, I'm just very excited. I've wanted to watch this game because this is the game I wanted to see. But going back into it, Jeeker, do you think that the Florida Panthers have enough offense, though, to win them this series? We didn't talk about this on the show beforehand. We never really got into who we thought was going to win. The Florida Panthers, their offensive depth, I mean, they obviously had the scoring from guys like Noel Achari during the season. Do you think that they can get enough offensive firepower to beat the New York Islanders?
I don't know. I guess they were kind of not in a playoff position when the COVID hit, but I never understood the trade they made for Trocheck.
Yeah,
I think it was a very dumb trade. I mean, look, you got their top lines: Barkov, Dadonov, Huberto, great line. Guys like Petrano put up 15, 16 goals. Achari had 20. Like, it's there. But my problem with it is Achari had 18 goals his career and then put 20 up this year. Like, was it a fluke? I mean, I know Frank, and Frank's a great hockey player, and he's got one of the best wrist shots I've ever seen. But can he do it in the playoffs?
Remains to be seen.
I honestly – I don't think they have a shot in hell at winning this series, and I think they lose in three. I think their defense minus Keith Yandel, I don't think their defense is any good.
No.
I think Ekblad's overrated.
Oh.
Mike, I think Mike's a great defenseman, but I don't think he's there in his own yet. I think he's going to be a lot better, and I think he's got a lot of room to grow, just like he did at BC and then when he played the American League a bit, but I think Ekblad is overrated. I think Uyghur's overrated. I think the other kid, that Stillman kid's pretty good, but he's not really a game changer. He's more of a fill-in. And I don't want to say fill-in, but like a 6-5-6 game kind of guy. But I think they put too much stock in Ekblad. And Strawman's very steady, but I think he's wearing down a bit. I mean, he's been in the league for a while, so –
best years of
and, yeah, and I think honestly, like, Yandel's a great defenseman, but I don't think he's like, he's a game changer, but I don't think he's overly gonna push them over the edge kind of thing offensively. I think he's great for the power play, obviously, but I don't know. I really don't know. I don't
it's
think
a weird series. This is a weird series. I know a lot of people are all saying that this is just gonna be a boring series. But
it is very boring. I almost turned the game off. It was a very boring game.
It's an odd series to get attached to. So I move on, and Anthony.
I didn't feel like that at all. But I guess I'm in the minority. Everyone's saying that.
Just was bored.
Everyone.
I take boring away. I just kind of knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
They scored a goal, and I'm like, well, they're not going to score another one.
Yeah. So now the series that I think a lot of us have been waiting for, the next game on the docket was the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Montreal Canadiens. Anthony, I do want to let everyone know that Anthony is wearing his Max Domi 20 Tux shirt during the pod here, not only because he likes bragging about that moment, but Jeker obviously is a Pens fan, and that's a direct shot to him.
Just a fun little shot at
you. A fun little jab at him. But the Montreal Canadiens went up 2-0 on the Pittsburgh Penguins last night, and then Pittsburgh battled back to push overtime and ended up losing in overtime thanks to Jeff Petrie, I believe, was the guy who scored the goal in overtime.
Nice little shot from the slot.
Jeker, I gotta start with you here. Do you think the Pittsburgh Penguins might have slightly underestimated the Montreal Canadiens?
No.
Going down 2-0 early?
No, not at all. They
outplayed them the whole game.
Yeah, so they've outplayed them, but historically they've never been super, like, they don't play against Montreal like they play against Philly or, you know, Tampa. Like, they beat the shit out of those teams. Like, Montreal's always gave them a good battle, no matter what year or who they had.
So they play to personally, their competition.
No, not at all. I just think Montreal has always been a good competitor against them. I don't think it has anything to do with – because there's years when Montreal was really good that Pittsburgh still could beat them. And then there's years when Montreal's really bad and Pittsburgh loses to them. So I just think that it's just the way that organization is, I guess. I mean, there's teams like that. Personally, I think that Pittsburgh is trying to do way too much. First things first, we don't even have to get into this very long, but Tristan Jarry should be in the net.
That's what I was going to get into next with Matt Murray.
Matt Murray's very bad. I don't think he has it. I think, and I've said this for a long time, I think he needs that cushion behind him of a veteran guy like a Fleury. And I think that when he had that opportunity to say, you know what, if I have a really bad stretch, Fleury's going to come in and win us games. And now that he's the big dog, even though Jarry is the all-star goaltender, I think he's kind of
a head case in that regard.
Yeah, that was a weird decision. I was always thinking like, I was like, oh well, Jari made the All-Star game. How do you not start Jari in the in this game one?
You want to know why? Because Mike Sullivan's turning into Dan Bylsma. Dan Bylsma had to do everything to make himself right, no matter if it made sense or not. Like, you trade for Jerome Iginla, and Jerome Iginla doesn't play left wing, and what does he do? He puts him on Sidney Crosby's left wing.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And I think Sullivan's a great coach, but he loves Matt Murray. So you knew he was going to start Matt Murray. And a guy like Dominic Simone, who is – he's hurt. He's had shoulder surgery. But Coach Sullivan loves Dominic Simone, who's not a very good every – he's a fourth-line NHL player at best. He's putting him on a line with Crosby. And you know, if he was healthy, he'd be on a line with Crosby. It's things like that that's frustrating where I could go down the list. I think Connor Sheary is a great hockey player. I think his best days in Pittsburgh are behind him. He shouldn't be on a line with Sidney Crosby. I think that I don't understand why he put Crosby and Guentzel back together, because when Crosby was hurt, Guentzel and Malkin had an absolute time. They were great chemistry. They were all both lighting it up. Then you get Zucker and Crosby back, and they both are lighting it up. Why would you switch it? Because it worked in the past. Exactly. It worked in the past. Awesome.
Sounds like David Quinn.
I think the biggest issue with the Penguins is their power play, and it's really frustrating to me. Like I said, as a guy who is very into a power play and focused on a power play in my career, you have two of the best three players in the world, in my opinion, in Gino and Crosby. You got Letang, who is a very good defenseman. You got a guy like Patrick Hornquist who makes his money standing in front of the net. Why is Hornquist not on your first power play? I know Jake Guentzel had 40 goals. Like,
I don't think awesome. Jake Guentzel's that great.
He's very
honest.
Good. No,
I don't think
he's
I don't think he's
player.
That. I think he's one of those players that if you send him away, you send him away from Crosby, he's not going to be as good.
Here's the thing. I hate when people say that, and I'm not going to say that I hate that comment because I understand it. But no one's played with Crosby and put up 40 goals. And then every other player he's had, Kunitz never put up 40 goals. Kunitz was always like 20 goals. Crosby would play better. The only person that I've seen do that was James Neal when he played with Malkin, put up 40, and he went away and still put up 25 goals. I don't think that Crosby, they have that effect on him. Like, the biggest example I could bring is Brian Gibbons. He played – if BC played up in the with the Pens for a little bit. He had like 19 points playing with Crosby in 40 games. He still was – that's not like amazing. Like,
well,
19 points.
Didn't Connor Sheary like play with Crosby before he got the deal with Buffalo, and then he made his money in Buffalo and got sent right back?
Yeah, but he didn't put up like sick numbers. He put up like 17 goals.
He still
dude,
made a
care.
Name for himself with Sidney Crosby.
I'm not saying people don't make their name. I'm saying that – dude, it's a bit different than like 40 fucking goals.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying. I think you take Guentzel away from Crosby. You put him on his own on a different team, and Guentzel maybe gets 25 goals. Maybe
that's still pretty goddamn.
I don't think he's as good as people think he is, to be honest. But Anthony Carey Price, on the other hand, he faced 41 shots. Only allowed those two goals. What did you think of Carey Price last night?
Nothing short of stellar. Only reason this team was in the game, like I said earlier, at one point they're getting outshot 14-3. He's an absolute when he's healthy, which this break is probably better for him than anyone else in this entire playoff, is because when he's healthy, he is the best goaltender in the NHL. The problem is he's never healthy, and I've never been able to give him the credit that everyone else has given him. Because you just haven't seen it. But last night, healthy Carey Price, we saw it. He plays a very calm, very cool, collect style of goaltending. He doesn't make a lot of big, flashy saves. He makes a lot of saves with the pad, with the chest. And we saw last night, he makes saves, and not only does he make saves, he makes them the right way. He's not giving out a lot of rebounds, and the ones that he is giving out, he's kicking to the corner. He was awesome last night, the only reason his team was in it. And he's going to be the only reason that the Habs stay with the Penguins. I think his play, what we saw last night, if he can keep it up, I think this is going to be a good series. I think these teams are going to trade wins, and it's going to go 4 or 5. And I think he's the reason, because obviously, as Jake alluded to, I mean, the Penguins outmatch the Habs. It's just, it is what it is. They're going to outplay the Habs more than not.
And
I think with Carey Price, you know, if he can steal him a couple wins, it'll at least be an interesting series. I alluded to earlier that the statistics show that if you win game one of the 5-game series, you're going to most likely going to go on to win. I think the Penguins have an opportunity here to flip that.
Yeah.
They're going to be that minority because I don't think the Habs have it in them to to beat them in any kind of series.
And Pittsburgh's a team that obviously they've been through all of this before, so it's like they know this happened.
There's a quick fix for Pittsburgh. It'll take one practice. They took a lot of shots. They were all no one in front of the net.
Zero panic in that locker room.
Put guys in front of that and start shooting the puck more.
They're fine. I've got a question for you, Jeter. In this situation, obviously, Carey Price is like Anthony said, he's a game changer for Montreal. Did you ever in your career play with someone in net that kind of made you have that confidence where you're like, we can win any hockey game because this guy's in the back of the net, like is in the net? Because I feel like that is so huge for Montreal. That to have that guy, like, they could just go out and play and know that they could win a hockey game 1-0. They can win a hockey game 2-1 because they have a goaltender like Carey Price.
Yeah, I'd say there's two. I'd say Demko for sure in college. He was just – he kind of reminds me of a larger version of Carey Price. He's a big boy. Like, the saves he wasn't one of those goalies who flopped around and made all these, like – he did make them if he needed to, but he was real poised in that. And actually, one this year, a kid named Danny Tirone, he played at UNH. He was our goalie in Fayetteville for the first 15 or so games before he got moved up to the coast. I think we won 10 in a row with him, and we win games 4-3 or 1-0. And you knew that, all right, if we put 4 up, Danny's going to let in 3. Like, he's not going to let in 4. And he was really good. It was a shame that, you know, he got called up and then ended up going overseas. He would have been, obviously, if we had a whole season, I think he would have been the Carey Price star team for the whole year. So I'd say those two. I mean, Danny was a great kid too, so that made it, you know, even better to have, which I'm sure, like, everything you see, Carey Price is a great kid.
And does it give you that confidence, though? Like, you know that is a thing? Like,
yeah, especially for me, as the way that I played the game, where I was more of a high-risk, high-reward type player. You know that I was going to pinch a little bit more, jump up a little bit more. Knowing that if I gave up a 3-on-2, like a 3-on-2 with a forward back or a 2-on-1, like, I had to have confidence in my D partner, which for most of the time I did, depending on who I played with. But for most of the time I did. And then just, like I said, having the ability to know that if I cheated for offense and tried to rush up and it got turned over and they kind of had a guy in the slot, like, I knew Danny would make the save. And to be honest with you, he did a lot of the time. So as much as I played with Demko, I didn't play a lot of games with him because I was hurt for a lot of my junior year. And then my senior year, I played forward. So on that end, I didn't play a ton with him. But, I mean, just as a guy on the team watching when I was hurt or when I was playing in forward, you knew you were going games with him. He's one of the best goalies in the country at that point.
Yeah, so definitely gives you that confidence. Now, we finish Saturday night's worth of games in the in the Western Conference, the Calgary Flames and the Winnipeg Jets. And I feel like the first thing we have to talk about is what is being talked about the most with this series, and that is the hit by Matthew Tkachuk on Mark Scheifele that took Mark Scheifele out of the game. I sent this video to you both earlier today and asked for your thoughts. Anthony, I did not hear your thoughts, so I'm going to go to you first. What were your thoughts on the Matthew Tkachuk play with Mark Scheifele?
I watched it happen. I saw the post-game remarks by Maurice and by Tkachuk. To me, it just looked like an unfortunate play for Scheifele. It didn't look like anything vindictive or on purpose for Tkachuk. I think Chavis is right that, you know, Maurice trying to get his guys going, trying to get some controversy out of it, trying to get some emotion in the game. Good for him. But the fact of the matter is, there's very little chance that he was able to do that on purpose in real time. That's just insane. It's insane to think that realistically.
Yeah.
And, you know, even when they ask Chuck about it after the game, he's like, That's like there's no way. Like yeah. It's like no.
And Tkachuk during while Scheifele was getting helped off the ice, he literally went over there and offered right. his condolences to him because yeah, I mean like that's just a play that no one wants to do that. That's
him.
Yeah.
His reputation
here's so the
if
perfect
anyone
example.
Else you would have thought it was an accident, but it was
Kachuk. Here's the perfect example of this. I'm guessing this is an Achilles injury from what it looked like. I'm sure you guys have seen it. If not, look it up. Matt Cook on Erik Karlsson.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. That's intentional going for the Achilles.
Yeah.
And that
Matt
was
Cook
no
was
call,
a piece
no
shit.
Penalty. Yes, but that was no call, no penalty, and he very much was blatant. If you watch the video, and I hate how Marisa is like, oh, we have the blue line cam, like well, that
blue
angle
line cam.
Change anything. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
He yeah. falls backwards and his foot goes up.
Yeah.
It's not like he stepped up. And kicked it.
Exactly. That would be different.
It's just
not.
A fluke thing. It's,
yeah.
And to be honest with you, from what it looked like to me, because Tkachuk is kind of a rat.
Absolutely.
And when Scheifele turned,
part
I think
game.
In – yeah, and I think in previous years or even like regular season or whatever, he could have done something worse. And I think
oh, yeah.
it looked like he turned – he looked like he wanted to turn away and ended up tripping a little bit. So, I mean – I kind of like how Maurice – I mean, I think Maurice is a great coach, and I like how he's kind of blowing this up a little bit just to get the boys going and give it a
yeah,
little
no
bit
problem.
To talk to. And he's always
no problem
been like
with that
at
all.
If you look back at some of the things when, like with Line A and the Xbox and, like, the Fortnite,
yeah.
and all that, like,
yeah.
the guy's a kind of a drama queen in some regards. But
yeah, very,
I mean,
very Herb Brooks-like, just
yeah,
say whatever to
but,
get
I mean,
going.
Look, they already dished out a suspension today. If it was that big of a thing, it would have been suspended. So
no,
yeah.
it was.
Yeah, I think at that point you kind of just need to be like, I'm gonna talk. So it does suck for Winnipeg because they lost two of their best players, but
yeah,
it's playoffs, man.
Yeah. So
yeah, it is.
So the Calgary Flames did, on the other hand, Matthew Tkachuk. First of all, Matthew Tkachuk ended up fighting after that. He fought Blake Wheeler.
I
love that.
Beat the wheels off him too.
He handed it.
I love
he
all
won,
of that.
Yeah, he won that
I love the fact that Tkachuk knows that this is going to happen. He knows that this is what needs to happen. He respects that. I like Blake Wheeler for stepping up and saying, "Hey, you took my guy out. Let's drop him. Let's make
oh.
it happen." I love all of that.
Side note. I think it was last podcast or two podcasts we were talking about the best captain in the league. Your
Blake
best
Wheeler?
Captain just fought Matthew Tkachuk.
Ooh, Blake Wheeler has the best.
He's
captain
the best
in
captain.
The league?
He's the best captain in the NHL.
Explain. Go
he
ahead.
Fights. He will go after anyone. He plays big. He plays heavy. He can score. He's on a team-friendly contract, unlike Jonathan Toews. he might not have the winning pedigree that Toews does, but I think
no,
his overall. I just think overall he's.
I see
think
your
overall,
Blake.
I would love to play behind Blake Wheeler more than I would love to play behind Jonathan Toews.
I see your Blake Wheeler and raise you a Nick Foligno of the Columbus Blue Jackets. That's
no.
that's what I
Foligno's
that's what
trash.
I
Foligno's trash. Get out of here.
I don't know about that.
Foligno also will fight.
He
anyone.
Will. That's why I like Foligno a lot. He will drop a mitts for the boys. He also can
yeah.
put up points. But
yeah.
either way, let's
yeah.
get back into
Absolutely.
The series here. Winnipeg is hurting, though. Mason Appleton was hurt. Obviously, Mark Scheifele and Patrick Laine suffered an injury late in the game. Anthony,
yeah.
what do you think
Not
about
great.
Winnipeg and their chances for being able to bounce back from this loss with the banged-up core that they have?
I don't. Think it's in the cards for Winnipeg unless they can rally around those injuries and make that a story, like, you know, Maurice is trying to do. Unless they can do that, I don't see it happening. I do think Calgary is a good team. I think when Riddick is on his game, like he was last night, I think he's hard to
It
beat.
Wasn't Riddick. It was Talbot.
Talbot. I meant Talbot. My bad.
No, you're good. The reason why I jumped on you for that is because my next question was literally because we don't have a setup of the week this week. I was going to ask you your thoughts on Cam Talbot's new Bauer setup. That's what I was going to ask you about.
No, I saw him with it in practice. It's
pretty sick,
it's
huh?
Thrilling. He's always had some nice setups over the years. He
yeah.
really has. He's a guy with good style. And you know, when he was with the Rangers, it was fun watching him play.
Yeah.
He just never seemed to be able to take the responsibility of a full-time starter.
Yeah, when he got
but,
moved.
But in a situation like this where, you know, it's not, you know, we're not looking at an 80 game season. We're looking, you know, at just winning a series.
Game by game.
I think, you know, letting up one goal in your first game is a great confidence booster. I look for him to continue his play. I look for Calgary to continue to get their secondary scoring going. I think they can, I think they can make short work of Winnipeg. I don't see Winnipeg putting up much more of a fight, but
Jeeker, you're shaking your head. Are you shaking your head like you're going to see Winnipeg?
No. I'm hell no. John Goudreau is back. Vintage Goudreau.
He had a nice goal.
He had a very good game altogether, all around.
He looks like a wild man with that hair and beard combination.
I would not be shocked if Johnny was playing hurt that rest during the season and this break helped him. And you know what? John Goudreau just got $3.5 million in his bank account on July 1st. He's ready to rock. John Goudreau is back, and I will not stray away from this, that Goudreau single-handedly will take them to the conference final.
That's not crazy. I think he's going to be a huge part in their success if he continues the way he's been. For sure.
Definitely. Now we move on. We go to sleep. We wake up next morning, and here we are today. The Arizona Coyotes win a playoff game.
Woo!
All aboard the Coyotes hype train. Okay, I like the Arizona Coyotes. I said they'd win this series. I think a lot of people actually are on the board for Arizona over Nashville.
It's hard not to root for Nashville's story, you know.
Dude, Nashville's a bad hockey team.
They didn't look good. They didn't look good today.
Disorganized. They were the victim of a little bit of bad luck.
The double doink Oliver Ekman Larson goal.
That's a bad goal, but that doesn't lose them the game.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. You're right.
Yeah, they didn't look. They didn't look good, but
interesting going with Saros over Rene.
That broke Rene's playoff starting streak. I believe it was like 80 something games, dude.
It was 89 games.
Yeah, that's wild. I would like to.
I know Saros had a good regular season, but I do think you got to go with your guy, Rene, to start the play. I really think you got to go with Rene there.
I think you're screwed either way at that point. They both had
iffy seasons.
I mean. 2 years ago or whatever it was when we went to the finals, Rene was trash. Saros was trash whenever he played. I just think they can't handle it.
I think the biggest takeaway from this game was Michael freaking Grabner scored a breakaway goal.
He gets a million breakaways, never scores.
I've never seen anyone get as many breakaways as Michael Grabner, especially when he was with the Rangers.
How about that breakaway speed, though?
The operation he created was
unbelievable.
Miles Wood, plays for the Devils.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
he played 1 year with me, and I guess this is more college than pro because I haven't watched a ton of New Jersey games. I like Miles Wood as a player. He fights. He's got a good shot. He's got the wheels. I think if he had breakaway hands, Miles Wood could have had 40 goals in college. I'm dead serious, man. He had four breakaways.
Well, that's Michael Grabner. I believe, is like two for like 765 breakaways. That's how many. That's how often he scores, and that's how often he gets a breakaway.
But he has unbelievable speed, and he just breaks away. The separation he creates in two strides is unbelievable.
Also, freak athlete. Dude is jacked.
He looks good. He looks good.
just to throw that out there, but he did score on a breakaway, and the Arizona Coyotes won game one 4-3 over the Nashville Predators. I don't know what Nashville can do to end up winning this. Darcy Kemper looked good for Arizona. Anthony, what did you think of Darcy Kemper?
Kemper doing Kemper things. He looks solid all season. It's continuing now through this qualifying round of the playoffs. He looked great. The team looked good. I don't like how they kind of let Nashville creep back in. I feel like that's something they need to tighten up for next game.
Tighten up the screws once
they get a lead, learn how to play with the lead a little bit better. But they're a young, promising team who I think it's like we've seen Nashville kind of on the top of things for the past, you know, 5 or so years. Those tables are starting to turn. We're starting to see teams like Arizona.
The turntables,
I think this series is going to be when we see it. I think the Coyotes
they're only going to get better because Mick Schmaltz was out of the lineup too, and he's one of their better players.
He's good too. Yeah, he is. Now I move on. Next game that was played is the Boston Bruins and the Philadelphia Flyers.
This is round robin play.
This is the round robin play, not the qualifying round. Boston Bruins lose 4-1 to the Philadelphia Flyers. Anthony's Stanley Cup pick is looking stronger and stronger. They had a great exhibition game against Pittsburgh, and they end up basically dominating play against Boston. Boston looked good to start, but then ended really sloppy. And Philadelphia took advantage of it. They got goals up and down the lineup. All four lines were able to contribute. I mean, obviously Boston will move on to play probably like Washington or someone like that after this. I'm not 100% sure. But what does Boston have to do to figure out what's happening? Jeeker.
They don't really care, I don't think.
What I really wanted to ask you guys, actually, with these qualifying round games.
Care.
I think they care, but the
big bad Bruins weren't the big bad Bruins today.
Do you think that
they weren't super physical? They weren't shooting the puck. Like, they were trying to do fancy shit. Like, I didn't see Chara. I mean, I watched that game, and I didn't really see Chara manhandle anyone today. Like,
no, they
know they're in the next round. They know they're going to end up playing a team. They're going to end up playing a team like a Toronto or something like that. I don't think they're going to play like a super solid team. So, I mean,
they're very much like the Penguins, I think, in that they're a team full of veterans that aren't going to let one game situation. They're still a very calm locker room, very confident group. They're not going to let one game define what they do going forward. I think that they're, like Jager was saying, they're just going to put this behind them. That's it. The Flyers now have a lot of confidence going.
They're buzzing, man. The Flyers.
They just beat a very good team in the Boston Bruins. Completely shut down their first line. On top of that, the Bruins had an empty net for the last like 5 minutes of the game, and they did mount a pretty decent offensive attack, and Carter Hart just shut it down. That kid is legitimate. I mean, I really look forward to seeing him in the NHL for years to come. I think he's going to be, I think he has the potential to be, this may be bold saying it, but like top five in the league goaltending for the next few years.
I wouldn't be shocked
if he's not top. He's probably top seven right now in the NHL.
Okay. I'm glad you guys agree. I wasn't sure where you guys were at with that, but he's just the real deal. He almost looks like Carey Price in the net. He's another cool, calm goaltender.
Morgan Riley just put Oliver Bjorkstrand in a headlock.
In a headlock, I saw that. Yeah,
in a headlock, absolutely WWE style, like just putting him to sleep. Vince McMahon, give him a contract right now. Morgan Riley,
Love that kid.
He's all right. Moving on now to the other game that happened today. That's happening. These qualifying, these round robin games, then now I don't feel the need to, the Colorado St. Louis game finished up just now. We watched it, we discussed it, Nazem Kadri.
We basically live streamed that. Whatever all the kids say, we did it live.
Live stream? We were, what?
I don't know.
Bill O'Reilly.
We'll do it live.
okay. Yeah. Whatever. I guess that's the cool thing now. We have Minnesota, Vancouver. We have Colorado, or Columbus, and Toronto on right now. I mean, I guess we can talk about these later on. We don't have to discuss these now. You guys want to get into this now, or you want to save that for another time?
Well, let's talk. We can talk about CBJ Toronto because that's an actual series. You guys want to get into that a little bit?
Yeah. Let's get into it. I thought Toronto looked good in the exhibition games. I'm not sure how much stock you guys want to put in the exhibition games, but I thought Matthews looked very, very good. And right now, what a save! Holy shit!
And I mentioned this to you earlier, Vinny. You were upset that Elvis wasn't in net.
I was not upset.
You said it hurt Columbus's chances. Korpisalo was nothing short of stellar before he got hurt.
I still think it hurts their chances. Who do you think is better, Elvis or Korpisalo?
I think they're both great. I think they're both great.
Who do you think is better? I asked you a question.
I think Korpisalo is better. I think he's got more experience. I think he's got more NHL experience. I think we saw Elvis get real hot real quick.
That's fair.
But after that really hot start, he came down to earth a little bit, and he's still good. Now, but he's not that hot start that everyone saw. Oh. I think Korpisalo, at this point in time, I'm not saying Elvis can't surpass him, but at this point in time, Korpisalo is the guy you got to go with. He's the guy who got you there most of the season before he got hurt, and he's the guy with the experience. He's been in the NHL. He played under Bob for a couple of years, getting experience there. Torts is a very smart guy, especially when it comes to goaltending.
Korpisalo looks. I've just watched another great save from him right now. Great. I mean, he has looked great. I just got a tweet from the Fried Man, Elliot Friedman. He tweeted saying that a bunch of teams are still there watching this Toronto
I love that
Columbus game. As Corby Sello made that glove save, everyone around, all the players went, during the save. I love that. They showed during the St. Louis, Colorado game, they showed Jonathan Toews talking on the phone to Patrick Sharp during the game.
What are you seeing up in the booth there?
Well, they showed Jonathan Toews talking on the phone. And they were just talking about him watching the game, and then 5 seconds later, Eddie O talks about how he got word from Patrick Sharp saying that was him talking to him on the phone. And I thought that was just, I mean, it is awesome. That's like you
cool.
said,
that's pretty,
it's
that's
awesome
pretty cool.
to see these NHL players literally watching these other games. It's a Pee Wee hockey tournament.
I absolutely love that. But getting back into the games, I think Toronto had the worst luck of anyone having to play Columbus because they're just so scrappy. And it's like, if you look at their lineup, you're like, yeah, they're going to destroy Columbus.
Even if
and
you win Columbus, a best of five Columbus, series game against this five, even if you win a best win, of five series, you're going to be worn
take
down
so much out of it. Exactly. That's exactly it. Columbus will lay down for no one, and they're going to give you a hell of a time.
Oh, Freddie Anderson.
Yeah, that was
sorry. I did miss the live watching of games during shows. That was always the best too. And this is playoffs, so it's a little different.
We've missed over the past few months. Playoff hockey now, nonetheless. Yeah, Freddie made a couple of good saves. So, but going forward, I think Toronto's going to have their hands full with Columbus. I don't know who's going to come out on top here, but if Toronto does come out of this, they're not going to be the same team that they entered.
Jeker, what are your thoughts about this series? You think Toronto can take it in five?
Columbus in four.
Woo!
That's not crazy. It sounds weird saying it, but I do think Columbus has this. I think that they're too tough of a team, and Toronto's too soft.
Okay, well,
that's part of it. But I mean, I think honestly, Toronto is the most individualistic team I've seen, almost in my time of watching the NHL. I've never seen a bunch of prima donnas like them. don't get me wrong. I think Matthews is disgusting. I think Marner's overrated.
But you gotta play. You gotta play as a team.
I think not necessarily even the players, because I think they have the talent to do it. I think the way that the team is structured, and I think this goes back to Dubas and Lamoriello, is just ruined them. Like, if you look at their lineup, like, yeah, their top six is the best top six in the NHL.
They're
like,
top heavy. Bears, there's nothing Nylander, else after that.
It doesn't
Man,
make
they're,
sense.
They're,
yeah.
Who the hell is Mikhaev? Like, why is he on your second line? You know what I mean? Like, granted, you don't need like huge guys to win these games, but like, I just don't think they have it. I was talking to my buddy yesterday and today because he came over to watch the games, and to be completely honest with you, and this might be one of the hottest takes yet, I look at teams like Edmonton and I look at teams like Toronto. And I compare it to teams like Chicago in the 2010s and Pittsburgh in the last couple of years. I don't think McDavid and Matthews have that it factor. I think they're incredible hockey players. Don't get me wrong. I think that, you know, McDavid had a shit game and put up 4 points. But I don't think they have that it factor. And the biggest thing to that it factor is team togetherness. And you think Sidney Crosby should be making as much money as Connor McDavid?
More money.
Yes, more money. And more McDavid's money. Contract's $5 million more.
Yeah, well,
and I think that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It
no,
doesn't
even matter. Said yesterday,
took it this, it, the biggest quote that I've heard is, I remember listening to it whenever it was on Chicklets, and when they had Crosby, he said, it doesn't matter if you take the discount unless everyone else takes a discount. Malkin took a discount. Letang took a discount. Kunin took a discount.
Yeah, you got to buy in.
Yeah,
got to buy in. And I think these
started
kids
at
are
the top
just
with Crosby.
And I think these guys are, like I said, I think they're all prima donnas in their own individual way.
So,
and look, I love these guys being like their own person.
Was that,
and like stuff like that? But who gives a flying?
Was that
what Nylander and Matthews wear to a game?
Question though, was
like,
that
why is that?
Was that contract that Sidney Crosby just got, not just got, but a couple years ago got? Was that his second contract extension or was that his first?
Third.
Okay, well,
second
what was
extension. His first
his first con- 8.7 million because he's a psychopath.
I'm just saying, was it
7 million every goddamn time?
Did he take like a lot of?
No, he did like a 5-year deal for 8.7 million, and then he signed a 10-year deal for 8.7 million.
So, but like when he first, I don't remember this, but if I mean, to me, it's like, yeah, that's what you need to do to make your team better, and that's obviously, I mean, something that's I find very great in a player to take that step and say, hey, I don't want all this money. I want you to pay everyone else and bring in the right pieces so we can win a Stanley Cup. But I mean, this is their first extensions, and
but
I think that
thing.
That's kind of
here's
just the thing.
This is where I get pissed off at these players with these contracts. Besides Matthews, Matthews didn't even sign it. Crosby signed a big contract, 10 years. Okay. And yeah, when he signed the contract, the percentage of the cap was probably pretty close to what like McDavid and Matthews. I think it's like 16% of the cap. But he signed that contract knowing that over that 10-year period, the salary cap's going to go up a lot.
Yeah.
When he signed that contract, the salary cap was like $68, $69 million. So that number of 16% of the cap in 3 years goes down to 12. And then two more years, that goes down to 8.
Yeah.
Whereas these guys like Mitch Marner bitched about signing an 8-year contract. He signed a 2 or 3 year deal. Okay. So that puts him at 20% of the cap for 3 years, where you're for 3 years, you're screwed. And knowing Mitch Marner, he's a good hockey player. He's going to put up 75, 80 points, 90 points a year. What happens in 3 years?
He's going to want to renegotiate again. Yeah.
He's going to want more money, which means, absolutely. So he's going to take 12 instead of 11, which when the salary cap goes up, well, maybe not this year because of COVID, but when the salary cap goes up by 2 million, and he wants 2 more million, that percentage doesn't change. You know, that's where people don't understand it.
It reminds me, I watched this movie last night. It reminds me of Mr. Deeds, where the quarterback comes into the business, like the meeting and stuff like that.
He goes, I ain't playing another down to get my money.
And Deeds goes, well, if we give you the money and if you play bad, can we take it away from me? He's like, shit, no. And I mean, no.
He's like, sorry, no.
Yeah, so that's what it reminds me. And I it's funny that you brought that up. Anthony and I talked about it yesterday when we were watching the Hawks Oilers game, and one of the I believe it was the second goal of the game. I believe it was the one that the Taves first goal that he scored. It was everyone on the broadcast was talking about how that pass can't happen and the coverage has to be better on the initial pass. No one talked about how Connor McDavid was incredibly out of position on that goal.
Bingo, behind the
net. No, they did. They talked about it.
No.
McDavid was the one who turned it over.
That's what they talked about. They talked about the turnover and how the Blackhawks were able to pressure them in forcing that turnover. But that turnover was not the reason why that goal was scored. The turnover. No.
It clearly was.
It started it.
But if you watch that video, if you watch that goal again, Connor McDavid, instead of going back to the front of the net, he follows his defenseman. He follows his defenseman behind the net. So there's now two guys behind the net, and your center assignment and Jonathan Toews is now just sitting right on the doorstep to score that goal. If Connor McDavid, and obviously
I'm gonna watch this again because I'm pretty sure
I know what you're talking about. He went right behind the goal along with the other Oilers defenseman, and it wasn't talked about. It was not talked about, and that is a problem. And that is why when we discuss Crosby versus McDavid all the time, and obviously we're all in agreement that Crosby is better than McDavid, but that's one of the reasons why. That we why one of the reasons
Which
why
goal
we
was
say
it?
This.
The goal, the
I believe it was second, the second.
I think
one.
It was the second goal.
Okay.
And this is one of the many reasons why. Oh, look at this guy having his volume turned up during the. What is that? A fine? We doing fines here again?
How is that a fine? I don't use my phone during the podcast.
What are you doing? That's what you're doing right now. I'm just kidding.
So literally,
McDavid gets caught behind the net. Doesn't go back to his assignment. That's a problem. It was not talked about, and I think it should have been. That's why I say guys like Crosby is a better player.
I agree with that, but that's not McDavid's guy.
That's
not McDavid's guy. It's not. They don't play man on man. It's his own defense.
McDavid should have went
behind the net to take that defenseman. The guy who should have had Toews was their weak side.
So you're saying that McDavid? So it's okay for McDavid to go behind the net like
that? Oh, God, that was a terrible play. But no, he made a bad play, but he was right in going behind the net to try to get the puck back. The guy who had that guy was supposed to be in front of the net, and his name is Oscar Klefbom. That's his guy.
So it's okay for McDavid to go behind, get caught behind the net while his defenseman's already there.
There's two guys on the Blackhawks behind the net. You're supposed to have two guys there.
Yeah, but I mean, my point is
if McDavid goes behind the net or doesn't go behind the net, there's two defensemen behind the net.
You're gonna score behind the net.
You never have two defensemen behind the net.
But are you gonna score behind the net? Are goals scored behind the net?
You really want to argue with a defenseman about what defensive position is?
I'm just saying.
McDavid was a shitty play and turned it over, and then had the right play to go behind the net.
I don't think that's the right play.
Try to get the puck back. It is the right play.
I don't think that's the right. I obviously know the systems here where it's normally two defensemen and then one center, and then one defenseman goes in the corner and your center stays here and the other defenseman stays in front of the net. I understand that the defenseman's supposed to stay in front of the net. But either way, you don't have two. Why do you have two guys going behind the net?
Because there's two Blackhawks in front of the net. There's one Blackhawk in front of the net,
and
one Oiler in front of the net. There's two Blackhawks behind the net and two Oilers behind the net. They're all in position.
There were two Blackhawks by the net. There were two. Taves was sneaking in. And then
we're done with this. We're done with this conversation until the recording's over, and I'm going to show you the video. We're going to have
I watched this. And the thing is,
I know it. To finish it off here, the top guys,
like Sidney Crosby, who are good in all three zones of the ice, have the wherewithal to see that Jonathan Taves is wide open in the slot and then picks up that guy. Because if that happens, there's no goal. If Connor McDavid goes to the front of the net, there's no goal. Moving on, we'll wrap this up. There's no more games. There's no more games to talk about. We don't have to get into the next games that are coming up. Washington and Tampa and round robin. Yeah, all the round robin games. It's round robin games from here, and then game two is of everything else, so it's perfect. It's perfect.
The Vancouver game tonight, but yeah.
Yeah, other than the Vancouver-Minnesota game tonight, which, I mean, I'm excited for that game. I wish it wasn't so
Vancouver
late.
Three.
Vancouver in three. Wow.
Minnesota's terrible. And correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't what's his face not playing because of his wife's health, Dubnyk? Did I read that he's not playing?
I'm pretty sure
I watched the exhibition game and
he's out.
Is he out?
So Stalock played.
I'm not a big Stalock fan. I don't think he's a good goalie.
Stalock and then the kid, what's his name?
Oh yeah, it's like Brett's gonna get pissed about that one.
So that's it.
So that does it though for our wrap up. I'm gonna go learn some hockey from Jeeker over here. We're gonna see how this goes. On that note, folks, don't forget to follow us on all of our social media platforms at the Power Play Pod. That's Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And be a subscriber to our Patreon. That's patreon.com/thepowerplaypod. Sign up, you get all the bonus content, you get episodes early, you get all of the games we do. Lots of fun stuff going on our Patreon page, so please go subscribe to that today. Anthony, Jeeker, you guys have any final words?
Learn the game, Ben. How about that?
We'll see. We'll see about this. For the boys, I am the one and only Vinny Milani. Thank you, and have a good night or day whenever you're listening.
See ya.
Bye.